Now on today's program, we kick off Listener Request Month with one of the most abhorrent things I've had to sit through in a while. It's the Jerky Boys movie. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies and tables, apparently.
Yes.
Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week we are coming to you from the HeadGum East office in beautiful Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to talk about the first Listener Request Month film of 2018.
Did you have to look at your phone to know what year it was?
No, I had to look at my phone to pull my notes back up because I just can't even fucking believe that.
Welcome
this
to 2018.
I'm drunk. It's the Jerky Boys movie from 1995. Directed by James Melkonian, this was requested by Brian from Kansas City, who had this to say.
My name is Brian from Kansas City, Missouri, and you guys are New Yorkers, you guys are 90s kids, so that's why for Listener Request Month, I want you guys to review The Jerky Boys, the movie. I saw this when I was in junior high, 5 minutes in, I knew it was going to be bad. So please review it and see a little bit of your childhood just die a horrible death. Thank you.
Yeah, I would watch my childhood burn to the fucking ground. Just I have to get this out of the way. Who here cared about prank phone calls as a kid?
I cared right about, here.
Right here, yeah.
Yep,
oh,
big
yeah.
time.
Yeah, I liked making them on occasion. I never.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't own the paraphernalia of.
You weren't
Jerky
a connoisseur,
Boys
you're saying?
No, I wasn't. I was a big fan. Okay, so Jerky Boys happens, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What a huge moment.
It happened.
It was the summer of 92. The Jerky Boys happened.
But what I'm trying to say, Steve, is I was more of a second wave kind of.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because when the Arnold soundboards came out.
Oh, right.
How are you?
Yeah.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah.
Now that is a prank phone call I can get behind.
I'm going to tell you, I'm still laughing at those. And also, I was listening to some of the Jerky Boys calls, aside from the homophobic ones, which most of them are.
That's like 98% of Jerky Boys phone calls.
Those go in the garbage, but the ones where you're just hitting on, you're just hitting at a fucking hapless New York guy, like, what's going on? What happened to those tiles? Like, and that's what this movie doesn't get, is like the other person is never that fun.
Confusion. Well, the confusion of it.
Yes. That is something, and we'll just plug him because we're internet buds, and someday we will meet this great man in person. But Nathan Rabin's got a piece on his website about this movie, and that's what he says, and I think is the greatest failure of this movie. The thrill, if we'll use that word, we'll play fast and loose with the word thrill. Of listening to a fucking prank phone call recording is that you know the other person on the line is just being destroyed and doesn't understand what's happening.
Precisely.
And in this movie, everyone knows that they're making this Jerky Boys movie, so nobody gives a shit.
And it's just, it's very much this kind of feels like some of those like Saturday Night Live movies a little bit. Like,
yes,
there's a thing that's making money, so why don't we make money with the movie?
Yeah, exactly. Just cram it into a movie.
I don't know how I would explain this to younger people.
Oh, that's a great question.
A world in which from 1992 to late 94, there was a genuine market for tapes, CDs of guys making phone calls to other people.
I will contextualize it for the younger listeners.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
It was YouTube. That was the YouTube.
Yeah.
You had prank phone call CDs. You traded tapes.
Yeah.
And then when Napster came along, like you got all those, because that's my thing, and that's where I have to come in with this. I never listened to the Jerky Boys. There were other dudes doing stuff.
Yeah, okay.
That I heard like from Napster.
You weren't really into the Beatles, but you were into the Birds. Is what you're saying?
Exactly. And the thing that it's the real fucking just shit about the situation is I don't remember what those dudes were, but I remember, and if anyone out there in listener land knows what I'm talking about, there was some motherfucker that had a bit about a dude who was like having an issue with a porta potty situation.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was hands down one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
You know, this movie reminded me of, which is a great doc, and kind of it's the same thing.
Yes.
Shut up, little man.
Yep. Like, of course.
That is worth watching.
You should
because
see it.
That's kind of like you know what I mean? That kind of thing where you're sharing tapes and like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of an idea.
All of that reminds me of that brilliant Mr. Show bit where they're doing the infomercial for yes. the tape service and it's Brian Posehn. And it's like, when you hear guys take a look at this or whatever, the guys get in here.
Yeah.
Someone shows up at your door with the next bootleg tape to watch. And it's like that, the cult of tapes kind of a thing. But yeah, now all of that stuff has just been uploaded to YouTube, making that whole culture totally irrelevant. Also, we don't use the phone anymore.
No. Right, and caller IDs everywhere.
Also, sure. A big traded movie back in the day was the Karen Carpenter stories, Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Haynes, yeah.
The Todd Haynes movie, which you can just log on to YouTube and watch.
Right. But
and you should, because it's a great movie.
But I know, Chris and Steve, you both actually owned Jerky Boys albums.
Oh, man.
I did. What? I remember, like...
Just buying a CD with prank phone calls.
This happened twice in my life, but one really changed my life forever, and one really didn't.
Oh, my God.
The one was my brother and sister are in the living room howling, laughing at something, and I go in to see what's going on. One of those times was... The first time I was exposed to Mystery Science Theater with Mitchell, and it was like, holy shit, like they are like losing their minds. The other time was the Jerky Boys. and like I was like, what is this? And it was this thing, and like I think being from New York and like identifying with the Frank Rizzo accent to a certain degree,
sure,
living in an Italian neighborhood, there's that.
Now, it was, so the Jerky Boys, it was just the two of these guys?
Just two guys, the two Jerky Boys.
But then there was, like, the two other guys who, like, helped write this movie.
Oh,
and then
right.
I think one of them is also the director.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the Hollywood suits, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, they made these dudes, and like, unofficial Jerky
this
Boys.
This director also did a movie called The Stoned Age. Did you ever see that, Chris Cabin?
Oh, no, I
that's
have not.
That's a National Lampoon movie, isn't
it?
Is it?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
I remember seeing it as a kid. I don't remember much about it. I was hoping someone else had a leg up on it.
Is this the VHS with the three people on the car hood? Yeah, I've never seen it.
Like it looks like Dazed and Confused, but isn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. I'm pretty sure that's a...
That's almost exactly what it is.
And I had Dazed and Confused, so who gives a shit?
what was your Jerky Boys experience?
Oh, mine. I loved this shit.
Yes!
Of course you did.
Yeah,
you did.
Uh-huh. To the point I had...
you did!
Yeah, you just go. Loving it.
Oh, look at that guy who loves the Jerky Boys.
I had the first, like, three records. Sure. I didn't go for the fourth
one.
Don't
fuck you. Don't call them records. These are CDs with print.
I had them on vinyl.
They went platinum.
They sold 8 million copies of the first album.
There is no hope for humanity.
The first two went platinum.
Wow. Platinum.
That sucks.
But this is how much I loved this shit.
Okay.
and mind you, I've only made one prank phone call my entire life. So
what?
This was
just one?
This was just me being a coward, really.
Is that your character you call as a coward?
I can't do this. Goodbye.
My real life character.
Not only did I have these three main records, there were like fucking like second tier like guys from Kansas doing this shit.
Uh-huh.
And I bought those CDs.
Oh wow.
Maybe those were the dudes I was talking about. Do you remember a classic porta potty bit or no?
I do not.
Classic porta
potty. One day people are gonna be talking about the history of podcasting like this.
Oh yeah. It's just gone.
There were those four guys, they talked about bad movies, they all died in that weird tire fire.
No, they weren't those guys, you would know. It's adjacent kind of version of that.
Mm-hmm. They sounded like they worked at a pizza parlor. Those guys.
Oh, speaking of sounding and looking like you work at a fucking pizza parlor, the Jerky Boys themselves. Talk about not made for movies.
No.
Or television or anything where you need to step out in public.
What I like about this movie is it starts... So, like, the Jerky Boys exist only in audio form, right? And, like, that's... And, I mean, like, I know that people get disappointed when they look at us. And that's accurate.
Big time. Half the letters we get.
But the start of this movie, and I think it's very conscious, they're in, like, these hooded masks.
Yes.
So, like, I think the thrill of being in the movie theater in 1995. By the way, this movie was made in 1993 and was shelved because no one wanted to touch it.
Shocking.
But it's like that when they rip the hoods off, it's like, it's the jerk. Like, you finally know what they look like. That's like half the price of why you're buying a ticket, I think.
Yeah. And then you're like, wow, look at that.
Or you could wait 7 years for the internet to be invented and, you know, There we go. We're
You're done. Like, one of them is wearing an ill-fitting Mets t-shirt, and the other one has a mullet to beat the band. Did no one tell this man he was about to be in a movie?
It's 1992 or 1990, whatever it is. This mullet is insane.
It's disgusting, dude. No one told Johnny B. where the
well,
fuck this asshole's name
to
is.
To his credit, he didn't know it was going to be shelved for this long.
Johnny Brennan is his name. And the other one's Kamal, just Kamal.
It's pretty rare, a crimson mullet. I don't see this very often. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by this.
It's like that like New York Irish thing that he's got going on. Yeah, oh yeah, man.
Yep, totally.
Looking like scum, yeah.
It was popular at the time. Yeah. I'm sure certain fashion elements we have on today will one day look foolish.
And they know making this movie, by the way, where they're like, they're making this movie for the fans, I feel.
Oh, sure.
Because like in the, before we get to the heads over, or bags over their heads thing, it's like the opening credits of just like the distributors and whatnot. And you just hear, hey, silly ass. Oh, and you're like, yeah, fuck you. Oh, here we go.
I had that. It was it's some movie company.
Caravan Pictures.
And at the end of it, Kamal makes a Shane reference. I'm like, oh, man, that's going to kill with the 14-year-olds, man.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, this is what this movie is for. It's for 13 to 14-year-old boys, and that is it.
But you have to be sneaking into the movie then, because it's fucking fuck this and
it's a hard R. Yeah,
it's a hard R, and you know you can't go PG-13 with the Jerky Boys.
You can't. You just can't. Did anyone else? Nick Rad brought this up. Working as our producer today, like the school voice of like doing Jerky Boys stuff. Like, was that like going around your school? Everybody.
It was awful because nobody could do it correctly.
No. I mean, what 14-year-old boy can do a Sal Rosenberg kind of a, you know, like. It's going to sound terrible.
Well,
but
everyone's
doing
Kamal, and that's not fun. Yeah. It's not fun for anybody.
I honestly don't remember them being popular where I grew up, but I remember watching this movie a ton because it was on, like, you know, HBO or something.
Yeah, but this also had the elusive Johnny Mnemonic. It had the orange cassette.
Oh, did it?
Oh, wow.
It brilliant.
One of them.
I mean, I've always known what this movie is. I should say I have not seen this movie until we had to watch it.
Are you serious?
This horrendous listener request.
That was
my
reaction, Chris, when he mentioned this earlier today. I almost spit out my drink.
I've seen this 67 times.
I don't think I ever saw this, even though I was a big Jerky Boys head at the time.
Wow,
I don't think,
fucking like, traitor.
I just thought it, I just knew that it wasn't going to be there.
Did you think it was a scary movie?
I was right.
Oh, no, those Jerky Boys. It's going to be too scary.
Everyone's having a lot of fun. Well,
they are getting into life-threatening situations.
Yes, they are.
Oh, sure, dude. And of course, and this is, oh man, this movie starts right off with, I know Steve Sadak, one of his pet peeves. It's, we've got, and in this case, I'm doing some air quotes here, comedians in a movie, and you have to see them as little kids doing the bit that they do as adults.
Jesus Christ, my least favorite thing in the world. That, like, that everyone's always been doing,
dude,
this all of the time.
Not only that, when they cut to the future, their clothes are the same.
Yeah.
He's wearing like the same exact vest as he did as a child.
I mean, I guess because they're like fun losers is the idea.
There's nothing fun about these guys, man.
Yeah, it just looks like they got hit by the Honey, I Blew Up the Kids ray. Like, and it all went up all the sun.
Their mother, Johnny Brennan's mother, Johnny B's mother, is Lorraine Bracco's mother from Goodfellas.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I couldn't place
it. I kept thinking of, like, it was Joe Pesci making fun of her. Like, what kind of people are these, Henry? What are they doing? What is going on? They're not Jewish. I don't understand.
I love Goodfellas. And so, yeah, it's like, oh, cool. So you guys have spent 20 years making prank phone calls. What a fucking existence.
Because, yeah, the first thing they do is they make fun of, they're doing a prank. His mother yells at them, and then they go and they make a prank phone call to this kid, Brett Weir's house, who's like
he's like their nemesis for no reason.
No reason.
He does well in school.
They're bullies. They're a bunch of fucking bullies.
No, but they are the heroes of this film, so they can't be bullies. The Jerky Boys are like the everyman heroes that we all strive to be, right, everybody? We're seeing our fucking heroes on the big screen.
We are seeing ourselves projected on this. You know, it's like, are you ugly and dumb and you just make
Yeah.
Bad comedy, then that is It's like we're in the movie.
We all strive to be celebrated for being losers, mm-hmm. just much yes. like the Jerky Boys of later days.
And like, you know, they make a prank phone call that, and like it's a little kid. I think he's doing the Saul Rosenberg voice.
Yeah.
And
he's doing like a landlord. It's more of a Rizzo.
Super, he's like the yeah. super oh, right. across the way, like your kid's been fucking around over
playing
here.
Playing with my mother's panties?
Yes,
some
he keeps
fucking...
on saying, now this is a problem throughout the film and those albums. My God, I was listening to some on the way down here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Holy Toledo. The inclusion of fruity and fruity ass and there's a lot of
it's
gay
a big
panic.
One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's thankfully not much of it, but there was the gay character.
Yeah.
Who only shows up two scenes actually.
Two scenes in this and they're bad.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah, that's absolutely right, Chris. You're totally right. And they like get this dude. I don't know, this little kid like gets expelled from school or something.
He gets his mom like, by his mother in the street.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Some street justice.
His mother's just pulling a Jimmy Conn from The Godfather, beating this kid with a fucking trash can. Yeah.
She becomes Paul Kersey just because she got this phone call.
Somebody called me a silly ass.
How do you not get him for this movie?
Well, Charles Bronson easily.
Why not? I mean,
I agree with this. Why not? Why not? I mean, okay, so Alan Arkin is good in not this, but in other things. Yeah. He's sleeping through this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Charles Bronson, holy Toledo.
He would, actually
change.
Be sleeping through
You'd
this.
But I would feel like they were in more peril if Charles Bronson
yes,
was standing there.
Yes, that's fair.
Exactly. So
somebody called me homosexual over the phone. I'm going to go on a killing spree.
A Jewish man called me. was enough.
I'm going to kill everybody called Frank Rizzo.
There is an Italian period. Rocket launcher, kaboom.
So Alan Arkin is like this mafioso boss that they run afoul of eventually.
So the structure of the movie is that they get called in by the police, and there's like this... The funny thing is, in the beginning of the movie, like there's all this press outside, like who is Frank Rizzo, blah blah blah. But when we get there in the middle of the movie, it doesn't make any sense why the press is alerted.
No. It also doesn't make sense at all why they would put bags on their heads with smiley faces on them.
Great.
Yeah, I was
point.
Like, were they fucking kidnapped by the Joker? Like, what are we doing?
Exactly. What are we doing?
It's
what
a stupid.
It's like, kind of open. This movie kind of opens like the beginning of The Insider. Our hero has a bag over his head. He's going to a place we don't know.
Very similar. They both feel like really long movies, even though this movie's only 80s. Something minutes, it feels like 2.5 hours.
Jesus, it's an endless 82 minutes, man.
They're in a police station, and then they start telling the history of the Jerky Boys. We see that, and then they start making
they started as children, we already discussed.
They're being questioned by the park ranger from Bushwhacked.
That's where that I could not place. Yes. Was he also on an episode of Seinfeld somewhere?
Yeah,
probably.
He's been in a lot of stuff. I randomly saw he was in a movie called The Fantastics or Fantastics. It's like a musical.
Yeah.
Seeing him doing music, my God, this guy's done it all.
He's also, like, he plays a lot of roles that I feel like R. Lee Ermey turned down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just, like, authoritative whatever.
But he's also kind of nerdy, but not, you know, yeah.
Yeah. They just go into this backstory about their life and how they ran afoul. And the other thing is, like, what I love at the start of this movie is the mother is giving them shit. It's one of those weird, like, I guess Kumail's always over at Johnny B's house, so, like, she's mother to both of them, kind of.
And mother to me.
I was hoping somebody would pull that out.
And mother to me, silly ass.
It is I, Saul Rosenberg. I just fell and dropped my glasses.
The scourge of sizzle tits. Fucking sizzle tits in this movie.
Well, it's either sizzle chest or silly tits or sizzle tits.
Whatever.
We're saying silly a lot. I'm gonna get silly with it. We're saying
rubber slap or rubber nipples.
Yeah. Rubber neck.
Yeah, rubber neck.
Yeah,
it's all so dumb. Now here's a question for all you big jerky heads here.
Yeah,
was Frank Rizzo the character that they would use that name as the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So then they
a lot of this is, by the way, kind of like adapted that first album.
Yes, it is.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that's what was going on,
because that's the first actual adult Jerky Boys. So his mother's like, hey, you guys, and to your point, she's saying it to Kumail too. You guys got to get jobs and get out of here. Blah, blah, blah.
And that's my favorite idea of this movie is like they are constantly unemployed because they're addicted to making prank phone calls.
Yes.
Like their whole reason is like, Bama, if we got out of the house and got jobs, what are we gonna find time for the prank phone calls? You're like, these are losers.
They take no time at all. Prank phone call takes like 60 seconds tops.
You could do it
on break at work.
Well, here's the problem is they start doing it at work. They become construction workers for a day whatever.
Right.
And they just start yelling silly ass at the foreman. Well, and it's like, what are you doing?
That's what we're doing, the gay boys. Yeah, oh, he's like, God. Oh, I'm a gay man. And everyone's like, what? But they do the Saul Rosenberg. And this is actually, to Eric's point, the exact phone call from the first album, which I did listen to on the way down here as well. It's like this nurse, and he's like, oh, I got hemorrhoids on my ass. And she's like, you have to use the proper terminology, sir. But it doesn't make any... It loses all the oomph because it's like an actress.
And
The X-Files.
Well, yeah, it's the witch teacher.
Witch teacher?
Wait, which teacher
remember
are you
when,
talking about?
They go to the school and like there's a satanic...
yes, okay.
She's the teacher who is actually the satanic.
Yes, I remember her.
Okay, yeah. There's a little bit of a twist in that episode, kind of.
Yeah,
with her
she becomes the... Yeah,
you know,
right.
I guess they should have done this movie like Borat or something.
Yes.
Just like get unsuspecting people off the street or something.
Yeah. Or even like celebrities. Like have it like almost like one of those David Blaine specials where he just shows up and does shit in front of high celebrities.
But... That doesn't even make sense. Like the work thing, the what is so stupid is like he's looking directly at the person he's totally making a prank call to.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the motherfucker can see you.
But this is the thing, because this movie is like, well, just a bunch of guys on the phone is not interesting. So what about a guy on a walkie-talkie? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, it's all modes of communication, dude. Like, building buzzer intercoms play a role in this movie later.
Also, one of the jobs they get fired from is a drive-in like fast food restaurant.
That's it.
So there's some fun there.
Oh yeah, I think it's Frank Rizzo. But the interesting thing: 36 minutes before Kamal does an impression. Kamal got the shaft. It's the Johnny B show. All the Kamal heads were like, when is my man going to say something?
Did the jerky heads out there, did you have like a fave? Like were there like team Johnny B and team Kamal?
I liked the character. Like I didn't really think about who was doing it.
Not until this movie came out did I know who was who.
They didn't like introduce themselves on the albums at any point.
No, it's just a bunch of awesome phone calls.
Like, they come
a bunch
out,
of
like,
awesome, awesome
we've
phone
got
calls.
A very good show for you tonight. I'm Johnny B. And this is my partner, Kamal.
I will be doing Frank Rizzo, and I will do Saul Rosenberg.
Yeah, you're right. You really don't want to break down the wall there, ruin the illusion of the prank phone call.
What I don't understand about this movie is that Johnny B and Kamal have confidence.
Yes. No, that is a note that I made. The ease in which these guys just like pick up the phone and do this, or just like... Yell
go outside.
Just go outside and yell at people with just not even a hesitation. Like, where do you get off having those balls, Johnny B? With a mullet like that? I don't think so.
I think that's what it is. They were bullies. They were always bullies.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to bullies. They go nowhere. So, and like, they're still doing that like fucking high school shit, thinking it's funny. And everyone's like, dude, I'm 35.
But yeah,
this is my wife. Why are you calling me at night?
If you took a widescreen approach to this, like, these are the people who are sending like angry letters to their local radio station.
Oh, sure.
These are guys
that love to call in on sports radio.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy like
and just go.
Mm-hmm. And
one day they found 4chan and that really blew the doors off the place.
Those dudes all went to 4chan. That's exactly right.
The message boards really kind of thinned out the prank phone call herds, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. That's
also
what killed it.
No one picks up the phone anymore. I mean, I got a call coming in, a number I don't recognize, like, goodbye.
Well, thankfully my number is in public because I always pick up the phone.
Really?
It's always Why? About my heating bill. It's like, I'm on some robocall list and I get it every single day.
So why do you still pick up the phone? Are you waiting for a jerky boy? One day,
someday,
call me.
I'm gonna get pranked.
I'm gonna make an album.
And it's always like the thing with these, like the famous prank calls too. There's only like so many categories you could get in. Mm-hmm. It's like complaining about bad customer service, or like a gross medical emergency is always another one, and then like the. I'm angry at somebody and I think I'm talking to them, but I'm not, and that's the gag. I think it's just those three.
Getting like the wrong order from a takeout thing, I feel like was one of them.
Yeah, so yeah, like a customer service issue.
Like what's the when they do the fast food joke in here.
Lamb minty chops with nipples or something like
that. Oh, man. It's just nonsense.
And that's the thing, is it's nonsense words. Like, again, it's funnier when it's some like unsuspecting whatever, but like everyone has to pretend. It's like infomercial acting. It's like what? You can't put that on a ladder. Like, right. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of like straight man bullshit.
This phone call will kill.
So they wind up going to the bar in the middle of the afternoon. Johnny B puts on a hat. It's like the hat that Wesley Snipes wore in White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
Like the up bill hat.
Totally.
And when it's cool when Wesley Snipes puts it on, but when Johnny B puts it on, he looks like a racist. He looks like a dude that like you would cross the street like, oh shit, that guy's wearing that hat. I don't know.
Putting
I'm in
that
the wrong neighborhood.
On top of that mullet.
Yeah.
Is a problem because it looks like if you've like ever tried to put a trash lid on one that has like too many bags in there. And you're just barely trying to get it down, but it won't. It won't.
You still know that it's an overfilled trash can.
It's just spilling out.
You're not fooling anybody, Johnny B. You are still a full trash can.
So they wind up going to their bar, their local neighborhood bar.
Mickey's.
This movie takes place in Queens.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know if it's filmed there. It looked like it was.
Yeah, some of it is.
Yeah, some of it is, some of it is, and some of it's in like downtown.
I think like it's like.
I feel like I've been in this bar. That's what that was the thing.
Oh, really?
I felt like I'd been in this bar before. Mm. Yeah.
Because they do mention Ditmars Boulevard and Steinway Street, which was our old stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. But they also, I think a lot of it is maybe like upper Ditmars.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Up towards the airport a little bit.
Yeah, like you're away from the train. Everybody
right,
needs to take the
when
bus.
When they do show the train, it was like a road stop.
Oh, right.
I don't know what that is. That might be the 7 train.
Mm. Yeah.
So they find out that the guy, like the neighborhood kid that they bullied, like comes into the bar, I think, and he's grown up to be like, sort of working for the mafia.
Well, here's the thing: they have a tab at this bar for some reason.
What a tired joke!
Which I've never understood. Like, no bar is ever going to let you have a tab. Like, you know what I mean? Like, pay up at
running
the end
a tab of $650 or whatever
it is.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, you can't have like the fucking Barney Gumble tab in reality.
So they're shut down. Their buddy comes in, Brett Weir, and he's like, yeah, he's like a low level guy for the mafia. And like,
anybody recognize this dude? By
no,
the way,
no, it was driving me
this
nuts. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone in this room has had the pleasure of seeing this film, but he is the main character in Frankenhooker.
Oh.
He's the dude
yes.
who makes
Holy
the titular
shit.
Frankenhooker.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, I looked that up because I was like,
it's another
I know
classic New York film.
I know this guy from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised it was that because I thought he was in other stuff.
He's kind of been in other, but that was the
random,
thing. I was like, oh, this dude.
Roles. He was he had a small part, like a featured extra in Bridge of Spies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a man on Subway 2.
Oh, wow.
You might recognize him as Man on Subway. He's the man. Like, Man on Subway number 2.
I was kind of surprised. Like,
oh, Steven, when you're waiting on the subway for Tom Hanks, you've got to really wait for him. Tom Hanks is going to come, and you've got to look like, wait, is this my train?
You know, the thing about Frankenhooker is it was just a really fun set.
I know a dude who worked on Frankenhooker, actually.
Oh.
I used to work with him, and he was like the camera operator.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got some stories.
Isn't that the same director as Basket Case? Or am
Frank
I
Henenlotter,
yeah,
you better believe it.
Yeah, baby.
A New York legend. if you can ever see italics, legend.
People love that Basket Case,
they do,
dude. You can fucking keep it.
So yeah, he comes in, he's like kind of shooting off at the mouth about how good he's doing with the mafia, blah blah blah.
Which I'm sure, you know, by the way, that's a false move, mm-hmm. right there. Just bragging about how well you're doing being in bed with the mafia loudly at this bar.
And I think he gets a business card or something. Johnny B gets the mafia's phone number, which is how this works.
God.
Yes, the yeah, mafia business card.
Phone number.
And here's the thing.
1-900-CROOK.
Phone number.
You don't touch the mafia. You leave the mafia alone.
Yes.
This whole
yep.
movie is a,
yes.
should
nope.
be... This movie should end with them getting shot in the head.
But,
exactly.
But confident losers always are drawn to organized crime.
Gotcha,
true.
Gotcha.
And they shouldn't
interesting.
Be.
They
because,
shouldn't be.
Because a lot of the mafia, upstanding, smart individuals.
Yes.
And this show... is pro-mafia.
Pro-mafia.
Absolutely. Family men.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Not the confident loser type.
Well, I don't want anyone wasting the mafia's time. They have a lot of... It's like bothering a policeman. Like, look,
exactly.
He's got a job to do.
They both carry guns and both protect people, some more than others. Maybe the mafia more than the police, but yes.
In New York, you have to go back and forth from the Meadowlands 4 times a day.
Yeah, exactly.
They're busy... busy guys, and they don't have time for prank phone calls
or tomfoolery either.
No way. And the thing that really bums me out about this movie's portrayal of the mafia, this is some Mickey Mouse
yep.
mafia.
Oh my
or
God.
Shit. This yeah. isn't like your tried and true legit mafia that you want in a movie about two dudes making prank phone calls.
This makes the guys from Weekend at Bernie's look like a bunch of Polly Walnuts and fucking Tony totally. Sopranos.
And speaking of which, Vincent Pastore is like the number two in this movie.
Sure.
So that's cool.
It's kind of before he found his instrument as an actor a little bit.
Oh, is that right?
I just feel like there's that scene with him and Alan Arkin, and he's like doesn't know what to do with his hands yet. He's just like touching a bunch of poker chips just to have something going on.
It wasn't until somebody called him Big Pussy that he really figured it all
he
out.
Found
that's
himself.
True. The clouds parted that day. He saw everything clearly.
What's my
time.
Name?
I'm shocked that Johnny B didn't call him that.
Big Pussy, yeah.
It
sounds like a good insult.
So he wants
phone call insult.
Well, you can't put sizzle in there. So.
What the fucking sizzle in this movie?
Yeah, I don't. He is saying sizzle.
Sizzle
and
sizzle
also,
chest,
what's
tits.
Weird? Do you guys notice this? Like, I think, by the way, this was intended to be like a Jerky Boys Begins kind of situation. Because if you'll notice, we'll flash
they
forward a little bit here for a second. Yeah, they fucking fight Liam Neeson for a second. The fucking ninjas burn their house down.
Rub your vocal cords. Your hands will take care of themselves.
Gotham is going to get a prank phone call.
No, but like at the end of the movie, that is when they are like given yes. the handle or the mantle of
that's
the Jerky
true.
Boys. Like they're right. just too fat assholes beforehand. And at the end of this film, they are the Jerky Boys.
That happens. That's after Gary Oldman takes the phone from them, right? Yeah. Starts making his own phone.
But did you notice, though, it's weird. Kind of like three quarters of the way through this movie, Johnny B just starts using the word jerky.
Yeah.
It's nowhere before this. And then he's like, hey, jerky. I was like, wait, what are you doing? Are you just saying it now? You're saying the thing that you call yourselves?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a mess.
So he calls the mafia and like he's just doing Frank Rizzo and like making fun of them, but also like, hey, by the way, I got these guys in town. You got to show them a good time, motherfucker, or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Sizzle chest. And
sizzle chest.
Now, the Frank Rizzo character is pretending to be a mob boss from Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's got two guys in town that have been doing a job for him, and you got to take
You're
going to
get in the car. You're going to make fun of the mafia and then get in the car with
yes.
the mafia. Yeah. The whole point of prank phone calls, forgive me if I'm wrong, is to be very far away from your target.
Yeah, that's the whole, you know, you're a coward. And that's why you're doing shit over the phone.
You don't do in-person
bullying. You do over the phone bullying.
Because their tab has been exhausted at Mickey's and they want to have a good night on the town. So they do this. It's just like, we're going to hang our own sword of Damocles above our
Wow, sick.
I mean, it's crazy. You don't do this to the mafia. Again, don't waste their time.
Don't waste their time. You will get killed. You will
yes.
or beaten up, like really bad.
And yeah. this is my question, though. And, you know, I do know that because we have received letters from people sort of associated with certain something or others.
Sure.
And so this
the
is
best
a question.
Fans. Make the best fans
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, they make the best fans in the world. So my question to those people is this a thing, like, when other mafia come to town, you better show my boy a good time?
Yeah.
We're not entertainers.
I mean, like, it is if, like...
We're slinging olive oil and beating people up. Like, what are you talking about?
If you're in
about?
The horse trade together, of course you do.
Exactly.
But, like,
you're not just taking somebody's word over the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who is this person? What are you talking about? Like, there's no confirmation about anything.
And I
not for
the
nothing,
is,
these could be the police.
And I think that, like, the mafia gets so, like... frustrated and flustered by the word sizzle chest and jerky
yeah.
and fruity ass specifically that everyone's like, well, I guess he must be a tough guy. Like, and everyone's like, wow, he must be in the mafia. He called me fruity ass. So like he winds up going to Big Pussy goes to Alan Arkin. Alan Arkin, by the way, appropriately sleeping at the beginning of this movie.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. No, that's
the
exactly
other thing. Actually,
he's a delight whenever he shows up. I guess.
If you look at Alan Arkin in this movie, you will know, and this is the thing that I noticed the entire movie, you will notice on the sides of his head, there are two like big indentations. That is from glasses that he was wearing 30 seconds prior to read the script. Every single scene, I swear to God, there's like these like very pronounced lines on the side of his head. I will try and get a screen cap. It's amazing because it's like, yes, he was just wearing glasses. Like, what is it, a jerk? Who's a jerk? Okay, all right. So I say that. Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. I got it.
He does spring into this big monologue thing about like maybe Frank Rizzo is responsible for the Carboni family massacre with the clown.
Oh, yes. Some clown massacre that they bring
birthday
up for a second.
Clown that was throwing firebombs and whatnot.
Yeah, like they had to scrub the Carboni family off the walls, they say.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's something.
Off the walls.
I don't understand. I mean, like the thing is also like, wouldn't this movie make more sense, like, either as the Jerky Boys, it's always like, oh, you know, hi, I'm Saul Rosenberg. I fell down the stairs and my glasses fell off.
Uh-huh.
Maybe show somebody fall down the stairs and their glasses fall off. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, to see that.
I would love to see that. Or maybe it's an animated movie, like we're seeing these characters.
And that's the right there. That's what it is. Because that's what that Comedy Central show got right. Crank Yankers.
Did they get it right, Andrew?
Well, I mean, if you want to try to portray that, these fucking prank phone calls.
A visual element to help you with the fucking...
Just using the puppets.
Yeah, that wasn't animation. That was
But I'm just saying it's not live action. I don't. There is not a worse format to try to bring to life a prank phone call.
Yeah.
Like just making a movie. Like animate it. Use fucking little Muppet ripoffs. Whatever you want to do. But this live act. Just these two fucking fat idiot losers who are not meant to be in movies at all. So it doesn't work.
If the Jerky Boys are the Beatles, does that mean the Crank Yankers are the Rolling Stones?
I think
Yeah, and which one of those artists was stealing more from the black prank phone callers? I think is the real question.
That smells like Jerky Boys.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, so that's out on the table because Crank Yankers was at least into the early aughts. Who was watching that?
Oh no, I never did. I never.
No. Time passed me by.
Once I got into college, I didn't fuck with Comedy Central that much.
I mean, because that was the sell of that though was like these were comedians you knew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing the bits, so it was like kind of something. Like I've seen a little bit of Crank Yankers. I don't think I've ever seen like a full episode.
Sounds like you did a lot of Crank Yankers.
No, I really didn't. I mean, it was like a clip here or there, maybe, or it would be like the, you know, we're trying to desperately get you to watch this, so like we're gonna show you a piece of it.
Oh, right,
while you're watching like an SNL rerun or something.
Gotcha.
Like that was the extent of my. And I remember like Tracy Morgan did one. Yes. Sarah Silverman had
Tracy
some good
Morgan,
ones.
Chappelle was on there once.
Yeah.
I'm sure Jim Brewer must have.
Oh,
been on
Jim Brewer. He probably fucking built a new garage out of Crank Yankers money.
I probably saw an episode or two. Probably.
Yeah,
see?
But I wasn't religious like Andrew. Didn't have appointment television.
I'm a Yankerist.
So they wind up going, they're like, hey, yeah, we're going to be in the corner of this and that. You better meet us and you better show our boys a good time. Goodbye, Jerky. And like they show up in these suits and I would be terrified.
Of these guys?
Yeah. No, of the mafia that I'm getting.
Alan Arkin.
You're meeting the mafia who you've never seen before.
And that you've antagonized.
Yeah, that you've just been, you've been making fun of on the phone for an hour.
And you're dressed in like your dead father's clothing, which is what I assume this stuff
is.
Yeah,
because it's from the 70s. Yeah, that sounds about right.
What are these white barrels? Oh, you don't have to worry about that. They're just for later.
I think that's what happened to Joe. Him and Dominic were making prank phone calls. Like, oh, cool, we're going to the cornfield. And then that's how it goes.
Dominic, don't hang up on me.
It's dial tone for you.
Dominic, ask him if the fridge is running. Dominic.
I did that one.
Oh, did you really?
Really? Yeah,
well, because kids are stupid.
Yeah. I don't remember.
That's an old one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I must have done a prank phone call or two, but I don't remember what or why.
Yeah, I think it was just like I repeated things I heard on television or something, which is why it never really worked.
My big one was farting into the phone.
I'm sorry. Wait. What?
Well, let's explore this.
No, it was me and my.
It sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it was.
I dialed a number. Someone picked up. I farted into the phone, and then
that's it.
Me and my friend were just like, you know, hanging out, and then like we're like, hey, want to make a prank phone call? And like, yeah. And then we would just wait around until one of us had to fart. And one of us would make a phone, to a random number.
Oh, man, now there's a time clock on there. It's like, oh, shit, here it comes. Okay.
Did you dial, like, six numbers and then just wait?
Question.
Sure.
In any instance of a silent one, like, you thought you were going to get
I'm sure.
The doors off.
I'm sure. I'm sure there was one or two that was
a
just
dud call.
A dud.
Remind me to never use the fucking phone in your mother's house ever again, by the way.
It was like I was sticking it up my ass. I was.
You might as well, dude.
There were pants in between.
It doesn't matter.
Phones have been around for a long time, and it seems like.
And I just suspected them.
No, what I'm thinking is like, okay, so the 90s was big for the prank phone call.
Sure.
But like in the 50s was, you know, someone called like 51 Milwaukee 97. And then like doing a prank call back then. I mean, it must have happened.
I will tell you this because in my fruitless endeavor to try to find out this other like B team prank phone calls, dudes.
Your search.
Yeah, I was on the Wikipedia page for just prank phone calls, which exists and is very thorough.
Gotta read that.
And it claims that prank phone calling started somewhere in the 1970s.
Wait, really?
In Italy.
Oh my God.
I didn't look too much into it because I was scrolling to get to the page where it was like notable prank phone call artists.
Somewhere in the 50s. Hello? Oh, no.
I think maybe it was not as prevalent then because it's like, oh, no, I just cost myself a nickel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a lot of money back then.
They go to a Copa-esque kind of club. Oh, sure. Here's the thing. The music era that we're in now.
Oh my God.
It's not exactly
this is a mess.
It's not exactly grunge. It's like my fiance called it
don't they go to Tom Jones?
They
first?
Do, but the music that is playing throughout this movie,
right.
Like the score of the film.
It's older brother loser fart rot.
Oh wow.
That is specific and correct.
It's the aftermath of Cobain dying.
It's like the afterbirth.
Like fucking Helmet and Collective Soul.
Helmet
is in the movie.
It's very much like a Faith No More-esque kind of thing.
Also, don't drag Collective Soul through the dirt.
Well, you
sometimes I want to feel.
Okay, but don't drag Faith No More through the dirt either.
The point is, it's all this like instrumental version of that kind of music. Wow. That's yes, and there's like the slight twang of like the funk influence.
Yeah,
it's
almost,
all there.
You can almost expect someone to rap, but they don't.
It's like instrumental Smash Mouth.
It's the same exact score to PCU.
Same
era of music. Wow.
Perfect. That's exactly right.
And it's terrible.
And then they go to Tom Jones, who is trying to make it happen in the mid 90s.
Well, this is weird.
He was like trying to have this renaissance back then. Yep. Remember, he was in Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah. He's also
in the 90s.
He's got a cameo on The Simpsons. Mr. Burns kidnaps him.
Right. He hitched his star to everything.
He's like, I can have fun with myself. Like, look, I'm not that serious. I'm Tom Jones, baby.
Yeah, and he's doing a version of Are You Gonna Go My Way?
Oh, man. It's like, hey, kids, buy my album. No. I love the Jerky Boys. Very cool. Yeah, I'm on to the Jerky Boys. Yeah, Jerky.
Is that a Max von Sydow? As
that's kind of what it is.
And Max von Sydow as Tom Jones.
What am I doing here?
What's new, pussycat? Oh!
It's not unusual to want to be loved by anyone. Even you, Spectre of Death.
How are you doing,
Sizzle Nipples?
Oh, my God. Poor von Sydow. Oh, actually,
I have hemorrhoids. No, actually, why does everyone always hang up when I say that? I'm having a real problem over here.
He would try to do a prank phone call and everyone would believe him. Like, he was just like, oh my God, this old man needs help.
This old man is in distress.
It's a joke.
He's calling a pizza place talking about his hemorrhoids and they send a car over to take him to the hospital.
This poor old man dialed the wrong number.
I was trying to be funny.
Do you think that Tom Jones was like, here we go, yeah, gonna be in the Jerky Boys movie?
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely.
What a fucking idiot. not him, it's not his fault. It's like whoever sold him on, like, come on, Tom.
Well, they're both platinum recording artists. Yeah. You're
right.
They're on the
same level.
They met at the Grammys, you think?
They could have been on the same label.
And the award for Best Prank Phone Call Album of the Year goes to Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, this is my first Grammy, finally.
So they're in this club, and it's like they're demanding to be shown a good time.
And that's they're not even like Kamal pretends to be a little bit of afraid, but like, you know, Rizzo or Brennan is like really cool with it.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, the Brennan voice versus the Rizzo voice, it's the same voice. If I'm on the phone, I'm like, oh, so it's this guy?
Yeah, like he's just New Yorking it up
a little bit more.
Not a ton.
To play a
Chicago
guy.
Yeah, that's
also
a great point.
Yeah. Do you think that anyone stopped and they were like, hey, John, you're saying like this guy's supposed to be from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
But you're really doing like a hardcore fucking New York, you know? Yeah. No, I know.
You can maybe get away with Jersey with that.
Yeah.
Sure. And that would be something, right? Then it's like the Jersey Mafia, maybe a little bit of River Wars.
Or Philly or something, you know? It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's not all the same, but it's close.
Well, Johnny B couldn't say Warder. So they're in this club. Tom Jones sings almost the entirety of that song.
Oh, we're running time off the clock. There are two musical performances in this movie.
In this 76-minute movie.
And
it's 80-something. Relax.
So they see Brett Weir there. He's like talking up some lady about how good he is in the mafia. And like Vincent Pastore is a complete idiot. So they're like, yeah, yeah. And he's kind of afraid of these guys because of the clown massacre thing. So it's like, oh, these guys must. And they say something that alludes to that accidentally. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, like a bunch of clowns. And like, oh, my God, it's them. So like they say to get Brett Weir out of here. So they like he gets like thrown out, like, you know.
And that's the gag in this movie. The running gag is this dude is being shit on constantly.
It's
by
like
them.
They're threatening their lives, not only to have a good night out, but to just keep shitting on this kid.
Yeah, to continue bullying this kid for now 22 years.
Why am I rooting for the jerky boys?
Why? Why would you care about what happened? I want these guys dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Man, it'd be so great.
The Scarface chainsaw scene? Just do it, baby. Just do it.
Oh, no, I'm being murdered. Like he's being killed and doing a voice.
Kamal's just got like the steely face and just like
yeah, by the way, you didn't think there could be a worse actor than Johnny B, but here comes Kumail, dude.
Yeah, he's not really doing it.
No, like both, you look at both of these dudes in this movie and you can see in the back of their eyes, like not the front of their eyes, but the back of their eyes, they're like, we're in over our fucking
heads. Yes.
We're so screwed.
Are the checks going to clear, you think?
They could fire us at any second.
Do you think this movie was based upon prank phone calls? Actually, like they called like when they called Caravan Pictures. Yeah, let me talk to the guy over there at Caravan Pictures. I got something called the Jerky Boys. You're going to love it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's like a meta thing. It's in within it.
By the way, you follow that chain up for a second. Touchstone Picture, like Caravan Touchstone. Buena Vista. This is the mouse, man. Yeah. Disney is fucking responsible for this. It's outrageous.
That was one of the many, many botched things Michael Eisner did while he was in charge.
Oh, weird that he would screw up something. That's odd.
And it's somewhere right around here was when I wrote the note of how are they this confident on the phone?
Yes. Yes. So this happens. They take them out. And then like Pastore reports back to Alan Arkin. They're like, look, I think these are the clown guys. We got to treat these guys with respect. And, like, they call a meeting with everybody. And Alan Arkin, he sits them down. He's like, hey, how you doing, jerky boys? By the way, this is how our whole crime organization works. We've got everyone on the police payroll. And someone's like, hello, I'm part of the police payroll. And the local government, like, yes, that's me. I'm the governor of New York. Hello, pleased to meet you, the jerky boys. It's just like, it just goes on and on. And he's like, what do you do? You haven't even seen any of these people.
No, and like what happens then if like Alan Arkin goes through this whole thing and then like Johnny B's doing his blah, 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 but then he just drops it, right? He drops it like mid-sentence and he's like, well, I'm glad that you're all here. And then assassinates all of these people.
Sure.
Because you have no fucking clue who these two clowns are. Come on.
All you know is that there's some guy in Chicago that's talking big on the phone and there's two fat guys in your house.
And the way you talk back is you send back corpses.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's start
a fucking mob war. Come on over. Come on over. Yeah, now your fat guys are dead.
Even worse than dead, like you are giving them all the information about your organization.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did they take them for a stroll to show them where all the bodies are buried afterwards?
Yeah. Also, give me a pat down for a wire. I don't know who these guys are. I don't know who these guys are.
Exactly. What is the... this is... And I will fully admit, because we're talking about this like clown massacre thing, I will fully admit to fucking falling right asleep in this movie. And I had to like rewind part of it. But there is a detail, I think, just slipped through the cracks. What is with like the actual murderous clown that we see at one point?
Oh, that's later in the movie when they go to the show with Kamala being an Egyptian magician.
Oh, yeah. That's where that clown shows up. Oh, so we will get to that at
best
some
part
point
of the movie.
Yeah,
kind of,
sort of. So basically,
this guy doing flips on stage.
So the mafia is like, all right, jerky boys, like you want to stay in town or whatever the situation is, like you've got to do some mafia work for us.
But first of all, they just give them an envelope filled with like, I don't know, like $5,000 to $10,000 in it.
It's a bunch of money. Alan Arkin gifts them a limousine.
He's like, hey, it's a gift. And they're like, wow, that's great. He's like, but you got to do a favor for us. And like, yeah, they have to get rid of Mickey's bar or whatever.
Right. And they also ask them like, oh, what would you do to intimidate someone? And then they go into basically one of their call routines of like, yeah, I'd get out the old tennis ball machine and throw
boiled potatoes up his ass?
Yeah. Kind of blue in the face. Or whatever. Yeah.
And then cool. like Arkin's like, that's the sickest thing I ever heard. Can you believe these jerky boys? Can I go? Is it lunch or what?
You've literally ripped like the heads and spines off people's bodies.
Well, that's what I'm not convinced about now, though, Cabin. You're acting like these guys are like some real sadistic, like hardcore mafia dudes. I don't know. From what I'm seeing from Alan Arkin and fucking Big Pussy, and then I think like the three other dudes that make up this mafia outfit,
sure.
like it's some Mickey Mouse shit.
It
I think
is.
They're like, wow. Those guys are impressive because they do stuff we could only dream of doing.
You know, honestly, this movie is very offensive to the mafia.
Yeah. Big time.
At every level.
The legit, hardworking mafioso that are out there day in and day out doing what they do.
Just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Trying to get by just like anyone else.
Mafia lives matter, man.
So we go on their like first adventure, and they're like, their assignment is to go to Mickey's bar and threaten their beloved bartender.
What I thought was like, oh, now they're going to prank Mickey, and that's another prank phone call we can make. That's going to kill 5 minutes. Why not,
Well,
guys?
You have to use the weapons at your disposal.
Exactly.
Like, Johnny B and Kumail like can't walk into a place and threaten somebody.
No.
But sure, call Mickey's bar over the phone. That's what I'm here for.
It's right. Like Michael Jordan playing baseball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
exact
you know,
same
a prank
thing.
Phone call maybe could have encouraged Mickey to sell the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some, there's like...
Instead, they walk right in there and...
He beats them up, first of all.
He doesn't give a fuck.
And he's... You know what this dude kind of reminded me of? The beloved character Fuckass in those Boondock Saints movies?
Yeah, oh. Lovable guy at the...
Oh my God, this definitely influenced Boondock Saints.
Oh, I'm sure Troy Duffy loves this movie.
Does anybody remember this guy from one of my favorite movies, the beginning of Wonka's Good Night?
No, he's in that movie?
He's the old guy who gets killed in the car accident when she wakes up.
Oh, interesting.
He looked very familiar. He's probably been in a lot.
He plays a drunk usually, so...
But so I guess like the mafia has some like real estate development deal going down, and it's like... This one corner bar is standing in the way of all
he
of this.
He won't sell or whatever.
So First you know of- what? The mafia, kill that guy.
Yeah.
Don't hire these other. Just go have Vincent Pastore do it.
Mm-hmm.
Murder this old man.
Talk to Uncle Junior. Get this fucking all settled out.
Totally.
Blow up the fucking place.
Also, you're coming out of a weak position. We can't get... Please talk to this old man for us? Like, no. And I guess that's what emboldens Johnny B and Cabal here.
Maybe if they think that they are the killer clowns, it might be a fun thing to
see it
displayed. Yeah. So, you know, maybe they were going to kill this guy on Saturday. Well, if these guys can do it on Friday, we'll have them do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So at some point, like, the mafia finds out that they're not the real guys is the idea.
Yeah, I think it's from this.
Brett Weir.
This little weasel. Well, this little weasel is secret hero of the movie because he's constantly trying to get the jerky boys murdered.
That's true.
And he's been bullied for fucking
35 years of his life. He keeps on trying to tell the mafia that they're just lowlives from Queens, just like he is. And they don't believe it because I guess they're so convincing. But then he brings in a photo of them on like Little League together, even though the photo's them all the same age right now.
There's a couple of these jokes where it's like, if like the whole thing was heightened, that would be a joke.
Sure.
But then they just like something like that just shows up and they don't say anything about it.
If they played kids at the start as themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I love that Brett Weir has this 8x10 glossy photo in in a fucking manila envelope of them playing Little League.
Holy fuck, I did not even think of that. I was like, that's normal.
Like, yeah, why are you keeping a photograph of these people you hate
and it's
who have ruined your life?
And exactly. It's not even like the whole team.
It's a fucking 8x10.
It's a really nice photograph.
He just likes being shamed, man. I think that's his thing. Yeah.
So the mafia kidnaps them and brings them to a hot dog factory.
Heavenly Franks.
Where we find out that the hot dogs are made from people the mafia has bumped off as the idea. Well, that is fucking funny.
Yeah, that's something.
They have a wall of fame. And certain mafia marks make bigger... loads of hot dogs than others because some are fat.
I don't think that I would eat human flesh. However,
really,
a human flesh hot dog, that might be the form I would go for it.
If there was a way to get you into it, hot dog is a good like stepping stone.
It's not the good cuts of human. It's just like the assholes and the feet.
Yeah, that's
you want to get like a nice steak. You got to go out somewhere special.
Yeah, maybe some pigs in blankets.
Yeah,
I could do that. Cover the taste a little
bit. A nibbler a little
bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely get mustard on there.
Right? Yeah, it did.
And well, so, it's like putting psychotropic mushrooms on pizza. You know, your first time you put it on pizza, just to see, feel it out. You don't want to eat it.
You know? And then like you know, when you got it down better, you just like chew a bunch of them and wash it down with some Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Totally fine. And you watch Tron Legacy and have a great night. So this scene is an example of their bullshit. Like, we're gonna use another thing that transmits voices to like get us out of a jam. Because like Johnny B looks around, like, oh, we gotta get out of here.
Well, they do a Bugs Bunny gag where it's like, let's go tell the boss, and like, it's like, you're gonna tell the boss. You always tell the boss. I want to tell the boss. Blah, 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 blah. They both leave, and they're like, yeah, we're locking you in. So then they go there.
And so he looks around like, how are we ever going to get out of here? And much like Bugs Bunny also, they are kind of, I thought about this, they are kind of Looney Tunish their methods here. But he's like, we got to create a diversion. So he sees, he's like, oh, good. Thankfully, there's an intercom in this room. And thankfully, these two dudes are downstairs standing right by the other one.
Yes.
And it's something about like an old guy's complaining about something.
This
in the
is the
building.
First time Kamal does a voice, which is his character. I believe it was called Kissel, was like this old guy.
Okay,
that's
so. This is another point where fans in the theater were just going,
"Oh
yeah,
shit. Losing their
I'll
minds.
Get down there and I'll kick your heinies."
Yeah,
that kind of shit.
That is fucking
heinies are mentioned.
And so, like, they kind of just—it's so dumb. Because you don't need this part, by the way. Because what they do then is just throw garbage on them out the window.
Just throw garbage anyway.
And
but
then
they're
like,
the jerky boys.
Like, first we gotta like we gotta soften this up, like butter them up with a prank, with a vocal prank, and then we'll just throw garbage on them.
And this kind of begins the big movement of the movie, which is one night out of control kind of.
Yes, and
this kind of should be what the whole movie is.
It's much like Scorsese's After Hours,
you
know, Good Time, like the exact same thing, the exact same caliber of film.
Definitely.
Oh, geez, I got this Mountain Dew bottle filled with LSD. Oh, and I left it at an amusement park.
Oh my God! And so
Jerky, we got the wrong guy over here. He's a little bandaged up. It's not my brother at all.
I beat up that African security guard.
I'm very good with dogs.
Oh fuck! Now I just want to watch Good Time. I just watched it like 3 days ago. I won't watch it again.
The best movie in the last
year. So they throw garbage on their heads. They're like, we got to get that old man.
Yeah.
And like run back up. And they're like, all right. Well, now they're just coming back up the stairs. And we're still locked in this room.
The way they get out is they use hot dog links to like as like ropes, which just, you know what, dude? You both way. There is a funny joke, quote, close to funny, where he's like, Kamal, they're like, Kamal's like, what are you guys going to do with 200 pounds of human meat? And they look at Kamal and he's like, 500 pounds.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I was like, all right, that's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke.
But then Johnny B's got something where he goes, like, Kamal takes the hot dog links, right? And he's basically like signals over to the window like we could climb down with these. To which Johnny B responds something about like, what do you think these big dicks are going to hold us? And I was like, oh, my God.
I'm laughing.
No, that's
were you laughing because I'm saying it, making fun of it, or did you laugh at it in the movie?
I laughed at it now.
Yeah, that's about right.
I mean, they got to see Tom Jones. That's an easy way to kill yourself.
So they climb down these hot dog ladders and run away.
Then they go to a club to hide.
They pretend to be roadies to get in because there's a guy doing the, like, oh, you gotta look a certain way to get in.
Well, this is what's weird. There's a bouncer at this club. It's the bouncer is dressed as, and the scope of people on this line, like waiting to get past this velvet rope. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect Helmet to be on stage.
Yeah, that's a Studio 64 type, 54.
On the Sunset Strip.
Yes. So that's kind of weird. And then also, like, Helmet is playing. So, like, what are you loading in?
Yeah, they're ready to go. Well, the funny thing is,
I guess the next band, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
This kind of reminded me, this whole movement of the film is, like, Bright, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're running around.
Interesting.
We wind up going to an orc bar kind of a situation. That orc hardcore show we go to in Bright.
Oh, that's true.
And Ozzy Osbourne would definitely work an orc cop bar.
He should be in Bright, too. Absolutely.
Why not? He could be like,
I'm a goblin or whatever.
He's some, like, elf wizard or some shit.
The king of the elves.
He was a guy that was also trying to get in these movie cameos. Well, the day like before, he made a mistake in the 80s as well. What was that previous episode?
Trick or Treat.
Yes.
But he also does like, it's almost exactly the same thing as he does for Private Parts, where he's just backstage talking to him.
Yeah.
Is he in Wayne's World 1 or 2?
Probably. I think he's in 2.
Yeah, he might be attending Wayne's stock.
Attending but not performing at Wayne Stock.
He's just in line to get his fucking wristband.
I'm not a big fan of Wayne's World 2. Wayne's World 1 is fantastic.
Wayne's World 2 is terrible.
Yeah.
No, I haven't gone back in a while.
No, it's not. Fine. And I think that's what this movie is too. It's a little bit of Wayne's Worldian.
They're hoping for that.
Yes.
They're hoping that fire sort of catches over onto their thing. But
and he's like, all right, you guys better rig up Helmet, who's going to play.
Yeah, he's the manager of Helmet.
He's also asking, like, where the roadies.
Where are the monkeys?
No, he's asking where the roadies are, and then they tell him that they got a better gig with the monkeys. And then it's all, the fucking monkeys.
Oh, right.
Which is, you know, a funny moment of the film.
Is it?
It's probably one of the funniest.
At it because it was coming from Ozzy and not either of the Jerky Boys.
Anytime the Jerky Boys are off screen, it's a great movie.
It is a high class comedy.
You are not asking where are the Jerky Boys when they're off screen. That's for sure.
Where's Alan Arkin?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Go back.
He's reading the script.
He's in frame reading the script. So they freak the mafia out at this point with some sort of gay panic situation.
They hide inside of a bathroom stall.
Oh, this
and like there's
is
three
fucking
stalls,
terrible.
And like they kick open one door, and like there's no. And this is the thing. So they kick open one door, and there's a guy that's like, "Hey, man, I'm in here." Kick open another one; it's empty. And they're gonna kick open the Jerky Boys door, but then we start doing gay voice, and it's like, "Oh, we're gonna have sex inside of a stall." And both of these guys, who are in this situation because they've been pranked by these guys before, are like, well, I'm not going to open that door. Do you hear what's going on in there that's actually going on?
Yeah, they know full well that they have been duped by people doing voices on them.
Exactly.
So stupid.
You've made people into hot dogs. Is that really going to, like, really?
Well, exactly. Yep. Exactly. What are you talking about?
That's where they draw the line.
You've seen genitals before being inside of a hot dog grinder. I would so much rather watch two men do whatever they want to do to each other. God bless them.
And it's like this bullshit, like Johnny B's like sitting on Kumail's lap, like another like cartoon moment. It's so dumb.
So they wind up not going in there. Like, I won't tell the boss if you won't, because I don't want to see a gay guy.
So they leave, and then like Kumail, they kind of like violently steal this dude's cab.
Oh yeah, they like, again, you want to talk about good time? You know?
So they steal his dude's cab, and in the process, Kumail rips his fucking turban off his head.
Steve, I want to ask you a question because you're the only one that grew up in the city.
Uh-huh.
The idea that these people could be this old and not know how to get to from Houston Street to Queens again.
It's madness.
Like,
it's
what?
And look, again, I don't have a driver's license, but if you put me
in
a car.
You know the FDR exists.
Yes, exactly. I do know what the FDR is. And also, I know to go north. You know what I mean? Like, go south, go north.
It's amazing. They're in this car, and he's like, where are we going? We got to get back to Queens. He's like, I don't know where we're going. And he's like, he can't even drive this car. He's so confused. It's going all over the road.
I guess it's like they'd never been to Manhattan before, and they want to go out, you know, have the mafia take them out, and they have no idea what Manhattan is.
Well, maybe they're just really playing up these roles of dudes from Chicago.
Oh, wow, the whole thing just got in their own head.
Yeah, dude, like their method right now is what's happening.
Ah, I see.
So they like, I don't even know how it is they managed to pick up all of the mafia in the cab.
I was, it's not on our IMDb, but I'm almost positive the woman that they're talking to on the phone is Susie Essman. Or it just sounds
much
like Susie Essman.
Oh, yeah, I could see her trying to get that wiped from her IMDb.
Susie Essman paid a lot of money.
You pay off the right intern at IMDb, dude, they will wipe it clean.
Alan Arkin's like, you gotta take this off. I'm nominated for an Oscar.
I was in Wait Until Dark. Do you remember that? Oh.
Yeah, this is Alder again. Put it back on.
Yeah, keep his name on there.
You know, I have nothing to be ashamed of, Alan.
IMDb, put Alan Arkin first on the Jerky Boys. Can you make it so he was a Jerky Boy?
First that, then Little Miss Sunshine.
They often credit me as the third Jerky Boy. against my will. So, yeah, you better believe Kumail's doing this fucking voice.
Hey, Oof. Alan, how would the jerky boys treat you? Fuck you!
How's MASH?
Fuck.
Nailed him. The Battle of the Allens.
Yes, absolutely. Dude, totally.
I would love that.
So Kumail's doing an accent appropriate with the timeline of this movie being made in and yes. the fact that he's wearing a turban driving a taxi.
Well, that
cab.
Was his character,
which
right?
they steal from the taxi driver. They commit a total hate crime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's ripped right off this dude's head very violently. It's kind of weird for this movie. It's like 2 seconds of like, wait, what is this movie?
Yeah.
And then you're back to the Jerky Boys because you just hear this. And so, yeah, I assumed, again, this was a quote-unquote classic character from all of those fucking platinum-selling albums.
I don't even remember what happened to them. Do they just run out of the cab?
They do.
They go like, into this club. I know that much happens.
Well, they're driving, and like the mafia, it's Pistorio as well, and they're like, hey, turn around, Mr. Cab Driver. And then he's like, and they run out of the cab and then they go into this nightclub wherein. Oh.
Well, I mean, because the red smoke bombs just like. It's they like have to run out. They have like to get out of there.
They wrote into this scene that would have tension of being in the cab yep. with the mafia. And then they just like, nah, let's not do that anymore.
No, let's not
let's
do
not
that.
Have that reach any logical conclusion.
There is they don't know where to go. They're like, how do we get to Queens?
It's so stupid. And there's this weird, because like Kumail's supposed to be the only person in the car, so Johnny B, I'm surprised there's not a fucking gay joke here. Johnny B's like got his head down in Kumail's lap.
Yeah.
And I was like, get ready for this blowjob joke. Mm. Doesn't happen. Weird. Unexpected choice for the Jerky
Boys.
Yeah,
it's like the ice skating. You don't want to leave those points on the table. It's important to make the gay joke here. It's more of a math game at this point, and you but, don't want to leave those points on the table.
But what he is doing is operating the pedals for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're the little rascals. It's a man.
What? Like Vincent Pastore is like, why don't you hurry up already? And then like... Johnny B under like in this dude's lap is like, you got it, mm-hmm. and presses Kumail's foot down to make the car go faster, and then they say stop. Mm-hmm. He presses the I'm like, why is this the thing? Why? Yeah, like they're not little kids. Kumail's not sitting on a fucking telephone book.
He's a grown man. They wind up going to this nightclub,
which by the way, speaking of the era of Frankenhooker, Paul Bartel.
Totally, dude. Oh, Paul, New York, like indie B film staple Paul Bartel.
Another italicized legend, you think?
Kind of.
Kind of more so than the dude from Frankenhooker.
Yes.
I mean, I would stop with, oh shit, that's Paul Bartel.
I was going to say, anybody in Chopping Mall gets it, right?
yeah, totally. Eating Raul. Well, he's also long dead. So nobody's seen him in the street these days.
Right.
He's been dead for a while. But yes, in this movie, he's playing the manager of this club that is hosting an Egyptian magician.
Uh-huh.
Say that five times fast.
That is, in case you're wondering, a classic Jerky Boys bit.
Oh, really? Egyptian magician?
It is.
Oh, I went and saw the Egyptian magician.
Well,
is
no, it's
it
just
that?
Kumail being I'm the Egyptian magician
he
in
calls,
a voice that I'm
yeah.
not going to do.
He calls a club to like audition to play it or something.
Oh, I see. That is genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like... They walk into this club. He's still wearing the turban is
sure.
the gag. So Paul Bartel sees him and he's like, oh, you're running late. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And like,
how convenient.
And, yeah, yeah.
And Johnny B.
Deus Ex Egyptian magician.
Johnny B. finally gets a disguise. I don't know. He's dressed like fucking, I don't even know
he's
what.
He's like a ninja turtle going out trying to hide amongst man.
That's what it is, dude. Actually, you know who he kind of looks like? This is a total, total in-joke for... Only people that went to Purchase College around the time we did.
Okay.
You guys remember The Shepherd?
No.
From
yes,
PTV?
I do.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
He looks like he's just wearing this coat. He's got the long hair pulled back into like a curly ponytail.
Sure.
He's got these Coke bottle
oh,
glasses.
Yeah, no,
there was a figure on our college television station that just called himself The Shepherd.
Right.
He looks exactly like Johnny B in this movie.
Speaking of, though, you know who must have gotten into prank phone calls on. Because they were so far away from society, the Ninja Turtles. You know
oh,
that they
you
were
have
oh,
to.
All
yeah.
the time.
Definitely.
Like they would call Domino's for pizza, but they would never prank Domino's.
No,
you prank Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut is built to be pranked.
But then they would be like, "Oh yeah, my glasses fell off." They was only the Ninja Turtles must have loved the Jerky Boys.
I bet
they
yeah.
did.
New York
yeah.
in the 90s.
I mean, they both live in the sewer.
Oh no, I totally fell down the stairs and broke my shell. I mean, my glasses fell off.
Hey, Johnny B.
I'm your silly ass neighbor.
Splinter's like yelling at them to get off the phone, racking up the payphone bill.
Donatello, what is this silly ass? How does a chest sizzle? So he starts doing a routine, and he doesn't do it very well. The clown comes.
You don't say.
No kidding. Oh, he like takes someone's jewelry from the audience.
Oh, right.
And he's gonna like break it and make it go back together. Classic magician.
But it's
stuff.
Amazing because
he just breaks it and then he leaves.
So Paul Bartel is like, "Oh, you're an Egyptian magician. Get on stage. You're so famous. Even though I don't know what you look like, and now you're here." And then he's like, "Ah, yes, well, ladies and gentlemen, the Egyptian musician, he is about to do this trick that I'm going to explain." Like, get off the stage.
Yeah,
now.
He's totally in on the routine.
Yeah, like, no.
Maybe he's like this magician's biggest fan.
Oh,
he's like,
I see.
Oh, do the jewelry smash one, please.
He winds up there. It's an Egyptian restaurant, it seems, and there's an Egyptian lady working there. Who winds up taking Kumail up to her apartment.
Because, the way, his voice he's doing is so convincing
that
a native speaker would totally be like, yep, he's Egyptian.
Falling for it.
She takes him upstairs, and she wants to have sex with him.
Yep.
And I don't know why he doesn't.
Because this
is...
Is she
supposed to be unattractive? She looks pretty
good-looking.
She's
later revealed to be underage, which is impossible.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, what happened? This one's like 40 years old. I missed that
line.
No,
it is so stupid.
Towards the end of the movie when the cops are like racking up their crimes.
Oh, I see.
Like, oh, and she's underage or whatever.
Yeah,
but she also...
Right.
This is kind of a racist joke.
Oh, it's 100%.
When they do the fucking like, oh... Let me do a snake charmer flute to try to get your dick to raise up.
Because he's not into this for some reason. We don't know what's going on.
I think it's because it's Kumail, a guy who is wrapped up in a prank phone call team called the Jerky Boys, is now somehow unbelievably, like even to him, making a movie of this. And so this man, and this is one of the scenes I'm talking about where like in their brain, they have to be like, we are so out of our element. Cause he's laying on this bed. He's just like so totally nervous looking and it's not acting. He's just like, what am I doing here? I make prank phone calls. I don't know anything here.
Maybe he becomes part of the Proud Boys. Maybe that's
he doesn't
think he should be having sex.
He might be
giving up his power.
The jerky boys are incels. 100%.
Oh, absolutely. Or there might be vol
cells.
What's that?
That's voluntarily celibate.
No,
that sounds
not that.
More like that.
You think so? No.
Because
this woman's throwing herself at him.
He's there.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
But
he's saying
also,
no.
I mean, if we're led to believe that they actually care about their lives and they're worried about the mob,
sure.
it's not convincing. But maybe that's why he wants to get out of this situation as fast as possible, because the mafia is downstairs.
You shack up with this lady all night, maybe for a couple of days till the heat goes down.
That's
exactly. You just do not leave that.
Meanwhile, Johnny B, in his Ninja Turtles disguise of the trench coat and hat and Coke bottle glasses,
you're going to be sitting next to Raph. Hey, how's it going, Johnny?
Successfully gets out of there, out of the mafia checkpoint.
Yeah,
checks
right.
Every person with his Saul Rosenberg.
And
impression.
This is, it's really dumb because.
Like, hey, Pops. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Vincent Pastore's like, hey, old timer, what are you doing here? He's like, yeah, I'm old. just look at this guy.
Yeah, his trash haircut is fucking everywhere.
You're
come
the
on.
Same age.
Trash haircut.
It's true. Like, yeah, like, you're chasing a man. With long, flowing, blondish hair.
Yes.
This guy has long, flowing, blondish hair. Case closed.
But I didn't see him wearing Coke bottle glasses before. Clearly a different person.
Yeah, it's like Clark Kent. So Johnny B escapes. Kumail escapes sex. And
thankfully.
Then the next act comes out, and it's Sparky the Clown, who now the mafia's afraid because they think it's the killer clown from the stories, but it's not. It's just a dude who's a clown that does flips and juggles knives.
Yeah. Was Sparky the Clown a thing?
I don't know.
I remember.
Because that seems like that would have been a bit.
Sure. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You never know.
Either this or like Mad TV.
If you remember, please don't write in. Please just leave it alone.
I don't want to know that bad.
I'd like to forget 1992 to 1995, if you don't mind.
They escaped the mafia. Finally, they get back to Johnny. This is when the police pick them up at Johnny B's mother's house. And they do something with a fucking answering machine tape that you don't know what it is until the end of the movie, kind
right.
of thing.
And there's a bullshit thing here where, by the way, the elderly uncle from Christmas Vacation is constantly sitting outside this house. And so the cops go to
William
the door.
William Hickey, man.
Yeah. And he's like, He's like, I'm naked. You can't come in. Like, he's trying to do Saul Rosenberg.
And the cops
like,
are falling for it. This is impossible.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy, this old bastard has to be like, yeah, now they're in there, right? Like, of course they are.
Are you stupid?
Later on in the movie, he's revealed to be like an old mob, like saint from the old
it's
country.
Like fucking Don Corleone.
Yeah, that Alan Arkin as a child, they do a flashback, saw him.
Yeah, the Coppa Tutti Coppa.
Man, that's
insane.
Dumb.
Insane.
So they're arrested, and this brings us to like where the movie started.
Yeah, where
with
it all
the
began.
Fucking bags over our heads and whatever.
So this one crazy night leads them all back into this house again.
Sure. Yeah.
And then immediately they put these masks on that they just happen to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's that.
And then the cops are like, "Yeah, you can keep those on."
Keep it on through the press, so I guess no one photographs them.
But this is what Steve was talking about, though. Like. At the beginning, why would the press be there? This is just an arrest that happened.
Of two nobodies, two fat losers.
That did nothing.
I think...
Really? I mean, it's...
Yeah. I think I understand what the point of the masks are.
Ooh.
It's to hide our faces and to hide our eyes while we discover each other's bodies. We're the Jerky Boys.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what we're doing.
Oh, that
might
be something.
There's, you know, you're at mom's house... How long can prank phone calls go on before pornography goes on? And eventually...
That's eventually you've made, like, your last phone call for the evening.
Uh-huh. You make prank phone calls all day. You get really horny.
Nobody's there but your best bud,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so then you jerk each other off.
We are the jerky boys.
It's kind of crazy that it took us this long to get to that. That's really impressive, guys. I'm proud of all of us. We held it off this long.
And listen, you know, it's totally fine if you want to jerk off your friends. We're not
trying
to shame.
No, I'm not shaming that at all.
Strong bonds.
But the masks, you know, just, you know, clear eyes with that stuff. You know what I mean? Like
So they try to tell these officers, like, hey, man, Frank Rizzo is fake. Yeah. It's a thing I do. Like, watch, I'm doing it right now. See, it's me. Believe me. Yeah. And the guy's like, I don't know. It just kind of sounds like your voice, though. Maybe you should have created a different voice.
And there's a psychological profile on Frank Rizzo with this art that is very bizarre. Which
it looks like a demon, which I think is like part of the gag, maybe.
Yeah. It looks like a little goblin of some sort.
But it turns out like Frank Rizzo is an actual
mafia guy.
And the cop is like, hey, no, see, I got this whole huge fucking file on Frank Rizzo.
Sure.
What are the odds? Maybe don't pick a name like Frank Rizzo, like that, you know.
They go to his mother's house. The mafia goes to the mother's house. They got her down. They're gonna blow her away. You know, they use her
feet into cement.
Yes.
Yeah, some cement shoes.
They get two phone calls. One phone call, they call the mom. That's when the mafia knows to pick them up. The other one, they call a demolition expert. And
yeah.
Let me settle the score. I'm like, you're in jail.
Yep.
What does Kamal have parents? Does Kamal have anyone that cares for him?
I don't think so, dude. I think he's living at Johnny B's house since childhood.
Wow.
Like, they took him in off the streets. Kamal's father was killed in a prank phone call war.
Call that lady that you know... Last night, maybe like make a plan, make a date.
Oh, right.
You know, come on, make a date.
Well, somehow she's under 18.
Oh, that's
impossible, but somehow.
Well, no she like sense. It must be like a glamour, like a Melisandre or something.
Yes. She's the actual Egyptian magician.
And like, I mean, and also, if you've got fucking hand jobs from your best friend every night going home, I can see becoming a Valsell and being fine with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Why go out for hamburger when I got steak at home?
So, yeah, he makes this prank phone call to a demolition site. And it's this is that category again of like, you were supposed to be at the job and you're not doing the job. Ugh. That's a total prank phone call
Absolutely,
subcategory.
Yeah,
you boys were supposed to be down here yesterday. You know, and it's just like, yep. And why? We won't know until, the stinger scene in this movie.
I can't believe it.
And I love that when we see what that is, like, that was Kumal's fucking one phone call to do this. So the mafia then bails them out of jail, which is kind of great.
So that they can kill them. They bring them to this warehouse. We're doing legit cement shoes.
Yeah.
Alan Arkin, not the bear. Alan Arkin, not the bear.
Hey, Alan, I saw that cement shoe scene from the Jerky Boys.
Yeah, I'm auditioning for the West Wing tomorrow. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, you bald fuck. I'm the Alan in Hollywood.
Hey, Alan, I'll talk to you later. I got to go get a haircut.
So the Jerky Boys are like, all right, once and for all, Frank Rizzo is fake. And they're like, we don't believe you.
It's like, what?
And so then they immediately turn around and they're like, all right, fine, we'll call him. And it's like, all right, your whole thing's falling apart, yeah. But whatever, let's get this movie over with.
They call and it's like...
He calls Johnny B's answering machine.
Yes, and like Alan Arkin has this whole conversation because Johnny B was a genius and like made this call just so wherein like it would all be all the responses would line up to whatever Alan Arkin is saying. And it's funny, and he calls him fruity ass a couple more times.
That's great.
And you get that's when you have Alan Arkin being like fruity ass, he gets all mad about it. And they're like, you know what? We're just gonna murder these guys. They're like sort of left off the hook. And then it's what's his name, Neil?
Yeah,
what's this guy?
Whatever,
Brett Weir.
Brett Weir.
Who's I guess
like, they're about to kill him. They're like, oh, you messed.
Yeah,
up the
you.
Wrong.
Yeah, you gave us the wrong info or whatever. And he's like, no. And he calls back, yes. And it's just the same recorded thing, yes. Again. And so that's. We're chasing these idiots again through the streets.
And at a certain point, the police are in on it. And
yeah,
this movie...
it's revealed that the cops are in cahoots with the mafia.
Right.
And now the mafia and the cops are showing up to get them.
And this movie like ends really quickly.
It sure does.
It's kind of amazing because they're like, how are the Jerky Boys going to get out of this one? Because they wind up getting a tape of Alan Arkin saying that he's in with the police or whatever.
Well, this is what I don't...
Because when they call the house and they're talking to the...
Oh, right.
Talking to the answering machine. Frank Rizzo, it's being recorded by
but
the...
But I don't know... Now, it's been a while since I've had to have an answering machine, so I don't know how... But, like, what they're listening to, like, what you're hearing of Frank Rizzo is just the outgoing message, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they the beep another... hasn't happened. Oh, so how is the machine recording Alan another... Arkin...
This is very technical, I think.
Sure.
They show Johnny B setting up this device. I think it's how they captured their prank phone calls
in the old days. Oh, I see.
So it's like an answering machine and another recording device.
You know how Pee-wee gets his breakfast made? That's essentially with this, with the answering machine.
Gotcha. Okay. Now it's all crystal clear.
So this movie's like, and like, I also thought like Kumail's like call to the demolition expert was going to come in at the end as like a big
demolish the hideout,
something. No, they wind up going to Times Square.
And this is, boy, is this dumb. Because first of all, they immediately get there. Remember when they had navigation trouble 25 minutes ago?
Yeah.
That's over with.
Well, they take the subway. That's
oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah. They do come out of the subway and it's like. This crazy, they're at these two payphones in the middle of Times Square, man, the crossroads of the world.
Uh-huh.
And the camera is like zooming around them doing this 360 thing as they're calling like all the major media outlets to be like, yeah, here's this thing about how the mafia is in cahoots with the NYPD. Who's the hero? Oh, Frank Rizzo.
Uh-huh. And like also Kumail's still trying to make prank phone calls and like Johnny B's like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Dude, they are addicted to prank phone calls.
Oh,
this is
right.
Why they can't hold jobs.
True life, I'm addicted to prank phone calls.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I would totally watch that.
I would watch that. Oh, my God.
They've got to have, like, rehab centers for this.
The Schadenfreude from that alone. Oh, I'd be hard for days.
Well, then one of us could come over.
Well, it's the exact same cast of True Life, I'm Addicted to Pornography. It's like the same five guys.
Well, yeah,
it's
what we're just also extend the production to. 5 days, and that's it.
Yeah, when I'm not watching pornography in front of my grandmother, I'm making prank phone calls in front of her. Man, that is, she's just like, Tony, are you listening? It's like, no, I'm watching pornography on my laptop 4 feet from you, Grandma.
Thanksgiving dinner's ready.
True Life.
Ew. So, yes. And then the movie's over. Like the movie, like immediately, just kind of ends. Wherein, like,
it's a
bad fake news account of WNN, like a CNN fake thing.
Yes,
fake
and it's
news.
Like this dude, reads like the newscaster reads everything that happened to everybody, and then it's like, and Frank Rizzo was quoted as saying that the real honor goes to the Jerky Boys. And, like, that's, you see, like, the newspaper headline, it's like, the Jerky Boys are born.
Yeah.
On the national stage.
And Ninja Rap is born.
And Niedermeyer died in Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Blutarsky. And then this is, I hate this. This is always lazy comedy writing when it's like the end of the thing. And then they gave us cushy jobs. And they're just like,
why?
Like, by the way, the gag should be they're working for the fucking phone company.
Yeah.
Like, that is the thing. Like,
the detective goes down too in this.
He goes down and they're given cushy, they're quote unquote cushy jobs for the city. And it's the two of them sitting in this office and they're like, well, what are we going to do at work today? And Johnny B's like, I got an idea.
Get fired.
Let's prank phone call somebody. And man, oh man, 1993, who are we prank calling? The president of the United States.
Because of course, you know, it's the city of New York calling the White House. They'll get put right through.
Yeah. And it's he's doing the same, like someone picks up and it's like, White House, can I help you? And it's just that same, like, yeah, put me in touch with whoever's in charge over there. And it's like, oh, hey, fellas, what's going on? Yeah, jerky ass. Me.
Well, it's like, hey, Roger, is that you? It's like a Roger Clinton joke because we were very into that at the time.
We loved Roger Clinton, man, almost more than Bill himself.
Hey, Chelsea, I don't remember. Was I pranked by the Jerky Boys or what? Oh, shit, is this a documentary?
That's to date Trump's favorite record is the first Jerky Boys.
Yes.
It's like that.
I love it. I love pranks. That's why I'm doing a prank government.
It's gotcha. That, Led Zeppelin 4, and then Abbey Road.
Just that whole notion of cushy jobs, and you're not smart enough to have them work at the phone company.
Wouldn't it be great if Kamal at the end is like, it puts his hand on Johnny's hand and is like, look, we can't fuck this up. I have an apartment now. It's amazing.
They're roommates, they by the way. Once they live, move out of the mom's house, of course, they would. There's going to be the Jerky Boys clubhouse.
But to that point, like, these characters should grow from this experience. Yeah. They don't. It's just they're
And then how are you going to do Jerky Boys 2?
That's the real question. Well, see, that would be the thing, right? If you're trying to set up a sequel, it's like, oh, no, now we have to do a prank phone call for some reason, and we get pulled back
into it.
Maybe
it's like Ghostbusters 2, where the city sues them afterwards.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
And then they're dressing as Sparky the Clown to go to kids' birthday parties.
Yep, that's
it. Oh, perfect.
Which, by the way, I forgot. The newscaster mentions that Sparky the Clown being arrested for that slaughter. So it's like, wait, was it the real clown?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Who could care?
Johnny's occult bookshop. What do you want?
So we end with an L7 cover of Hanging on the Telephone, the great Blondie song. So that was fucking great.
And then we have a stinger of Brett Weir's house being destroyed. Brett Weir jumps out because he's always bragging he just bought a place on Dittmar's Boulevard.
And I love, here's a guy, he's working hard for the mafia. He's so proud of the fact he just bought his first home.
Yeah. Sure.
He's living in Upper Dittmar's, man. He's got the whole building to himself.
And he's not even bragging. He's just like telling them where he lives.
You know it's like, I mean? Hey, Jerky Boys, what have you been up to lately? Prank phone calls? Okay, I recently bought a house. I'm going to get that fucking guy. You hear him telling us how he bought a house? Fuck
him.
That's
the story arc. The story arc is to destroy this person who did nothing to them.
So he jumps out of the house just as the claw is coming in. And I'm like...
Which is like, first of all, they check to make sure no one's in there.
I was going
to
say, his girlfriend is like dead.
But this is like,
Crystal? Crystal? No fucking Crystal's in there. She's in the shower.
Abalone, you know.
Yeah, totally.
But I guess it's a cartoon, so whatever.
Yeah. Oh, whatever indeed. And then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and
the most baffling part of this movie. Executive producers Emilio Estevez and Tony Danza?
I missed
that.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Serious?
Yeah.
Big fans.
Wow. I almost threw a rock at my television.
Well, first of all, Emilio Estevez cannot be a big fan of anything. He has to be a small fan.
I see.
A short fan.
That's one of those, like, why?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the last song, which is the, it's a Jerky Boys rap thing.
Yes, where we're using, I hate these, we're using audio from their fucking phone calls.
And it's like a rap
and there's
song.
A beat over it.
So it's not like even a Rappin' Rodney situation?
No.
It is sub Rappin' Rodney, if you can imagine what that's like. Oh, I hated this.
Yeah.
I would not recommend this. I usually go
straight
last.
Out the gate.
Straight, fuck this. This is disgusting. These people are terrible. Everyone should be ashamed of themselves.
I was surprised. I would not recommend this either. I was surprised how many people were on my feed last night being like, oh, man, I kind of like that movie. Or I've seen that movie 150
times. People remember
times.
It from childhood.
Yeah.
And they remember being, you know, a fat kid eating hot dogs at home in the summertime watching. And it's like. I
Eric's
feel like,
getting a little autobiographical over there.
Hell yeah, I am. So that's why I would say it's a watch it. It's something to see. Maybe once. I don't think it's not a real recommendation.
Sure, sure.
It's if you saw this growing up, go back and see how terrible it actually is. Or like if you're like, that was a movie, seeing is believing a little bit. So it's a very light to borderline no recommendation for
me. Yeah, I'm of that mind because it's an oddity.
Exactly.
Like Mafia with prank phone call. Like, really? Nobody would have pitched this.
But that's the thing. What is fascinating about it is that it exists at all.
Yeah.
And it is that, like, nobody knew how to make this movie, so they just kind of made this movie. Like,
right.
Somebody was, like, given the task of make a Jerky Boys movie. They sold 8 million records. Figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's weird because it's that same... I was thinking about this the other day. You'll get an episode... It's just speaking of, like, the 90s. Like, so you'll get an episode of Seinfeld...
Sure.
...where the plot revolves around something where it would be impossible in this day and age for that to happen.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Right? So from, like, that... standpoint, like, you can't do this anymore.
No.
Like, we have IDs, we can block phone numbers, that whole thing. So yeah, I see what you're saying about the oddity, but I hated this so much, and I hated that mullet.
And
usually,
right.
I'm a sucker for a good mullet. Something about this mullet in particular.
It is a bad film.
That's The Jerky Boys from 1995, directed by James Melconi. And thanks a lot, Brian from Kansas City, for calling this one in. For more WHM, go over to whmpodcast.com or find us over at HeadGum. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. We are at WHM Podcast on Twitter and Facebook.com/WeHateMovies. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. If you were a big prank phone call maker, I want to hear those sad stories. Now, Steve Sadak, next week, Listener Request Month continues. And what do we have coming up?
Give me another second there.
All right. We'll just sit here.
Well, no, actually, what we should talk about really quickly.
Sure.
I mentioned Bright this episode. And if you want to hear an episode on Bright, you should go to Patreon because we have an awesome Patreon. Then we have an episode on Bright. We have an episode on
Man of Steel. And coming up this month, listener requested, right. Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, that's right.
Also known as just Ghost Rider 2.
Which is what it should have been, because who
just
could
slap
care?
A big fat Please. 2 on
put
there.
Put a 2 on it.
Put a 2 on it and go home.
Okay.
You got it yet, buddy? What are we doing over there?
It's going to be, I'll always know what you did last summer.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do anything, but you did something, and I will always know what that is. So until next week with another useless horror sequel, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum podcast.